Thank you for joining us for this online version of Pastor Randy Johnson's sermon from Florida Boulevard Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We pray this message will impact your life and challenge you to draw closer to Jesus Christ.
Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. If you have had the opportunity to participate in any of the weekly services this past week, that we had at around 11:30 with lunch and different churches participating and kind of walked with us in the Gospel of Luke through the Passion Week from where we were last week and thinking of Palm Sunday and Jesus coming into the city and being worshiped and seeing palm branches waved and people saying Hosanna, meaning save us, and all of the celebration all the way through Friday to see Jesus arrested and tried, and eventually on Friday crucified, nailed to a cross, left there to die, and then placed in a borrowed tomb, an empty tomb. But yet, in these days since Friday, we've all been anticipating the worship and the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and what that stone being rolled away and Jesus walking out of that tomb and eventually ascending into heaven, and then the promise and the hope that Jesus, and to know that he is coming again to receive us to himself. All of those things culminate on this day known as Resurrection Sunday, when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yet I have to ask you a question that sometimes people ask, whether you are shopping for something or whether you're in a relationship or you're considering some choice to make. And that's the title of the message today. It's a question that a lot of people ask themselves, and that is, what's in it for me? I mean, you look at the cross and the empty tomb, and you come to church, and everybody looks so good. You look so nice and pretty colors, and, you know, got family, and, it's a great day to be in church, singing all these songs, and yet we all want to know, well, what's in it for me? You know, what kind of benefit do I get? You know, well, we all want a good life. We all want to have a good reputation. We all want to receive things. We all want God's blessings and all these things. Yet some of us just feel like life has run us over. It's kind of like a lady in New Mexico had a little dog, and his family dog named Brownie. Everybody loved Brownie. Some of you want some brownies, but this particular dog's name was Brownie. And the lady was driving out and backing out of her driveway, and she backed over Brownie. Oh, yeah, it was really sad. And they all cried, and, you know, they just had a hard time letting Brownie go. It was a family dog, and everybody loved Brownie. But they went ahead and buried the dog in the backyard. Well, their little three-year-old son just could not get over the fact that Brownie was gone and just would not, just refused to believe that Brownie was dead. Well, he wasn't alone in that hope. As a matter of fact, the mother dog that birthed Brownie didn't believe Brownie was dead either. So she went to the backyard while the family was gone on vacation a day or so later, and she dug Brownie up. And when the family got home from vacation a few days later, they see Brownie laying there on the back porch, barely breathing, covered and caked in mud and dried blood, but he was alive. So they took Brownie to the veterinarian and found out that he lost an eye, that he broke a leg, but that he was going to live. And they renamed Brownie. You want to know what they named him? Don't say Lucky. This is church. You know what they renamed the dog? Lazarus. If you ever been to Sunday school, you know that Lazarus is the one that Jesus raised from the dead after he'd been dead in the tomb a couple of days and kind of had that smell. But you know, we all want to have life. We all want to have a good life. We want to receive God's blessings and all of these things. And nobody looks forward to death or look forward to a painful passing from this life to the next. You know, we all want to enjoy time with our families, and we want to see our children grow up, and we want to do well in our jobs, and we all want some of those very basic, essential things. And so the Bible helps us to answer the question, what is in it for me? When you look at the empty tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, what is in that tomb for you? Let's look in Matthew chapter 28 as we begin in verse 1 and read through verse 10. Here's what the Bible says. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Well, these ladies went to the tomb that morning, anticipating there would be something in particular, someone, meaning Jesus, that he would be there. They were anticipating death, and when they got there, all they saw was life. And so the Bible teaches us today there's two things that we can respond to, there's two things we can receive when we look at the empty tomb and we realize that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was not only crucified but walked out of that tomb and lives eternally. The first thing the Bible teaches us in this passage is that we must first of all receive his life and his death. We need to receive Jesus Christ's life, but by doing so, we must embrace his death. Now again, these ladies went to the tomb that morning. The Bible says in verse 1, after the Sabbath, meaning Saturday, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, that would be Sunday. The Bible says Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Now, the Gospels are filled with this account on this particular day, this resurrection morning, this group of ladies coming and seeing these things and wanting to take care of Jesus' body and coming to the tomb. Matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 27, just across the page, in verse 55, it says, "There were many women there looking on from a distance, seeing that Jesus had died and was about to be buried." And then down in verse 60 to 61, it says that as they laid it in his own new tomb, which had been cut in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb. And then it says in verse 61, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. So why do you mention all this? Because these ladies saw Jesus die. They knew that he died. They saw his broken body. They saw his battered flesh. They saw where the crown of thorns had been forced onto his head. They saw where he had been hit and beaten and whipped and the flesh ripped off of his body on the front and on the back. They saw where he had been battered and bruised and crucified. And there was no question that when Jesus' body went into that tomb, that he went into that tomb dead. See, unlike the little dog Brownie, there was no question whatsoever that Jesus Christ had died. These ladies saw this. Many witnesses saw this. Roman soldiers saw this. The chief priests and the elders saw this. The disciples from a distance saw this. They said, "Pastor, why are you making such a big deal out of that?" Because so many people think that the reason that Jesus walked out of the tomb 3 days later is because when he was put in the tomb, he wasn't really dead. But I want to tell you that you've never seen in all of your life any person be healed so quickly of all these wounds, of all these gashes, of all this bleeding, because there surely if Jesus had not died, if he had just fallen asleep for some time, there's no way that he physically could have had enough strength or blood in his body or an ounce of energy to be able to walk out of that tomb after the physical beating that he took. No, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was killed. He was crucified. He was dead. In order for us to have life, we must first of all embrace the death of Jesus Christ. Because, you know, the Bible teaches us that Jesus died for our sins, and the payment of sins is death. Now, Jesus never sinned. Jesus never committed any act that was a sin, a mistake, falling short of the glory of God. Jesus never committed any sin. So why did Jesus die? The Bible teaches us in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6, that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus died in our place and for our sin. If Jesus had just fallen asleep, we would still be in our sin. If Jesus was just pretending, we would all be in our sin. But because Jesus Christ took the eternal punishment that our sin deserves, and his heart stopped beating, his lungs stopped working, the blood stopped coursing through his body, and he laid in that tomb for 3 days, dead as a doornail, because Jesus Christ died, the Bible says we can have life in him. People want to have life. People enjoy life. You know, several years ago when cell phones were first becoming popular, there were funeral homes in Ireland who said that the big craze in Ireland was to drop a cell phone in a casket when their loved one died, just in case. You know, because they didn't want to bury their friend or their family member dead without any way to contact or communicate to get them out. You know, Brownie didn't have that opportunity, you know. But they didn't want him. But the funeral director would say, you know, turn the thing off or at least put it on vibrate, because the last thing you want is a cell phone ringing during the funeral service. You know, it's coming out of the coffin. That wouldn't be a good idea. People, you know, over the last several years have been looking into this cryogenic freezing thing and trying to freeze their bodies so that if there's some kind of scientific way to revive them or clone them or bring them back to life, they can do so. And y'all think I'm going to make this up. But there was a lady, 83 years old, who was dying in a nursing home and decided to have her head only frozen in case they had the scientific ability to attach it to another body somewhere down the road. Now, you may think that's weird or that's gross, but it's a whole lot cheaper than doing the whole thing. I mean, it's about a fourth of the price just for the head. And she died believing that they could reattach that head to another body and she could live again. Listen, people want to live. They enjoy life. They want the most out of life. They want their families. They want their friends. They want to be successful. They want to see things. They want to experience stuff. People want to live. Friend, the only way that you can live is to embrace the death of Jesus Christ. The only way that you can have real, meaningful, lasting life is to die to yourself and accept that Jesus died for you and embrace the cross and trust in the empty tomb. The Bible teaches us these things. The Bible says look in verse 6 before I share that with you. The Bible says in verse 6 that the angel said to them, "He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said, come and see the place where he lay." You know, over and over again in the New Testament, Jesus told the disciples exactly what was going to happen. He told them that he was going to be betrayed. He told them that he was going to be arrested. He told them he was going to be killed. And he told them that 3 days later that he was going to rise again. Jesus told them exactly what was going to happen. And here the angel says, "He is risen just as he said." This life that we have in Jesus Christ comes not just through his death, but through his glorious resurrection. But friend, if Jesus Christ had not been raised from the dead, then all of us, the Bible teaches us, would be dead in our sin. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 15 says. In verses 12 through 14, it says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. But if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain." In other words, everything that we say in the church is nothing. It's futile. We're wasting our breath teaching and preaching anything about salvation or hope or the presence of God if Jesus Christ died and was still in the tomb. We thank God for his death. We rejoice in the fact that he lives again because we can have life in his name. Verse 17 in that same chapter says, "And if Christ has not been raised, and your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." You see, the cross shows us that Jesus died in our place and for our sins. But the empty tomb shows us that we are no longer in our sins, that we have hope of eternal life. That Jesus didn't die just as a martyr. He didn't just take a beating. He didn't just do some nice gesture for bad people. Jesus was our substitute. And he died in our place. But if that's all that Jesus did, then all we could thank God for was just the fact that our sins were forgiven. But the fact that Jesus walked out of that tomb gives us hope that because he was resurrected, that we too will have life again, that we too will be glorified with the Lord Jesus. Many years ago, there was a botanist who found a palm tree seed. Now, some of you may even remember hearing about this, a little palm tree seed, and she found this seed, and it just so happened that the seed was 2,000 years old. And it looked like a seed. It had all of the properties of the seed. And so this botanist decided that she would plant this palm tree seed just to see what would happen. She dropped that seed in the ground. She nurtured it. She took care of it. She watered it, gave it plenty of sun. And lo and behold, don't you know that out of the ground, a little green shoot started to come up, and that palm tree from that seed that was 2,000 years old began to grow. And she was so excited that after 2,000 years that there was growth that came from this miraculous seed. Friend, don't you realize that even though 2,000 years has passed since Jesus walked out of the tomb, that there is still life, that there is still hope, that there is still growth in the church and in God's kingdom and in your heart and in mine, that because Jesus Christ lives now, that we too can have life in him. Everybody will die. Every one of us will experience death. We want to embrace life. The only way we can have true life is to embrace the death of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:21. Verse 22 says, "For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." Aren't you thankful to God that though you were born a sinner, you can be born again as a new creature and have life with Jesus Christ forever? Isn't that great? I think so. The second thing this passage of Scripture teaches us is not only that we need to receive Jesus' life and his death, but second of all, the Bible teaches us that we need to respond with both fear and with joy. Just like these women, just like many of the disciples, when we respond to what Jesus offers us, we respond both with fear and with joy. Notice how the Scripture teaches us that in verses 7 and 8. It says, the angel said to them, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." Now listen to verse 8. Says, "So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples." You know, the Bible teaches us that in this passage of Scripture that as the angel was communicating these things to them and telling them these things, that they had a mixture within them of both fear and with joy. But he told them to hurry, to go quickly and tell the other disciples. Now, this tomb that they were sitting at, this place, again, was that borrowed tomb. It didn't belong to Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea had gone to Pilate and asked if he could have the body of Jesus. And he and both Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, if you remember Nicodemus from John chapter 3, Jesus talked with, they both prepared Jesus' body, wrapped it up with the spices and all that, and put it into the tomb. The Gospel of John teaches us that both of these men participated with that. And as they laid Jesus' body in there, there was nothing but doom and gloom. There was nothing. There was a glimmer of hope as they're thinking back and remembering all these things that Jesus said. But now they show up to the tomb on the third day. They see the angel. They see the tomb rolled back. They go in and they see where he was laying. He's no longer there. And now the angel said, I want you to go and I want you to tell these people, these disciples, I want you to tell them what I've told you. How would you respond? What would you be thinking and how would you feel in that moment? I mean, there'd be all kinds of mixture of emotions and thoughts going through your head. You'd remember the things that Jesus said, maybe some of them. You would be a little apprehensive and hoping that this angel communicating this to you is telling you the truth. You'd maybe be a little afraid that you know, what if you go back to the disciples and tell them this stuff and they don't want to hear it from you or they think you're lying? I mean, there's all kinds of things that could be going through their mind. But notice what the Bible tells us. In verse 8 it says, so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Why would they have fear? Well, friend, every one of us, when we think of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, every one of us should think of the resurrection of Jesus Christ with fear. Not to be afraid, but fear in terms of respect. Fear in terms of worship. That is, that we should fear that this great miracle that we've seen, these women fear that this great miracle that they're a part of, that Jesus walked out of this tomb, was perhaps in their minds, and we certainly know throughout all of history, is without any question the greatest miracle that God ever performed. He brought his son into the world. He allowed his son to be broken and to be crucified and to be killed. He allowed his son to be put in a empty tomb, and then 3 days later, God called his son and raised him to life. The greatest miracle ever performed by God. There should be a healthy fear or respect that God has done this, but it should also be mixed with joy. The ladies left, and it said that they left quickly with fear and great joy. Have you ever been afraid and yet joyful at the same time? Have you ever had that sense of anticipation where you had that respect or that kind of worshipful fear, so to speak, but it was mixed with fantastic joy? You ever had that time where you just can't wait to tell somebody, but you're not quite sure how you're going to say it? These ladies had a respect for who God was and what God had done, but also could not wait to tell these men. Now, what happens in verse 9? The Bible says, and behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took a hold of his feet and worshiped him. You know, speaking of fear, so many times we worry about things that we cannot control. That's not the kind of fear these ladies had. The kind of fear these ladies had was respect that God had done a great miracle. But so oftentimes when we are consumed with anxiety, listen to me now. When we get consumed with fear, we get consumed with stuff that we cannot control, things that we do not understand. Now, I realize that I may not be talking to everybody because some of y'all may be a lot smarter than I am, and some of you may have a lot better handle on things at times than others do. But for those of you that occasionally get anxious about things that you can't control, then you know what I'm talking about. Things that you don't have answers to, things that you can't figure out, things that you're not quite sure how they're going to work out. All of that stuff brings us anxiety. Someone said a long time ago, you can either worry or you can worship. Strangely enough, busy people find it a whole lot easier to worry than to worship. When we worry, when we're anxious, when we care more about what the outcome is than we do with our journey with God, trusting that he's going to work things out, then we are incapable of worship because we cannot put everything in his hands. We have too much in our own. These ladies were not afraid and were not filled with anxiety. They were filled with awe and wonder and worship. And when they saw Jesus, they were not afraid to approach him. The Bible says they fell at his feet and they clasped his feet and they worshiped him. Why? Because all of their hopes, all of their fears, all of their wonder, and all of their faith was all of a sudden made possible when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, if you are not worshiping, it is because you are filled with the wrong kind of fear. You're filled with the wrong kind of worry. You're filled with the wrong kind of anxiety. We ought to fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and worship Him, because He is in control. He does what He says He will do. God has performed this great miracle. The fear and the worship and the respect we have is for God and what God has done. And yet I come back to the question, what's in it for me? I see the empty tomb. I see Jesus. I can picture in my mind's eye, I can picture that empty tomb, and I can picture these ladies grasping His feet and worshiping Him. What's in it for me? That's a good question, thinking about the resurrection. I saw a video just the other day of what they called Easter fails. A fail, today's culture, means bad idea. Something that you thought would work out, didn't work out. It just, you know, it was a bad idea from the beginning. It showed a little girl, 7 years old, picking up Easter eggs in her backyard. She's using a box. Used to hold Miller Lite. You can see Miller Lite on the side of the box picking up Easter eggs. That'd be an Easter fail, by the way. There was a package that was selling bubble rings for Easter. Easter bubble rings. It's a ring you put on your finger, pop the top of it off, blow bubbles. You know, it's cute. It's supposed to look like an Easter egg, look like a jack-o'-lantern from Halloween. That'd be an Easter fail, okay? There was one ad or one sign on a beer and wine and liquor store. It said, stop here for all of your Easter supplies. That'd be an Easter fail. My favorite was an ad for some local discount store. It had low prices for Easter. And the discount store advertisement said, remember us for all your Easter needs. Christ died for our prices. That would be an Easter fail. Yet you see this kind of stuff all over. See people running this way, running that way, doing this, doing that. Oh, it's Easter Sunday, or oh, you know, it's Christmas Sunday, or you know, it's a special day, or you know, it's you know, we should probably go to church, or yeah, you know, I know a little bit about the Bible, and I'm familiar with this, and yet in our life we're always chasing something, and we give God a little bit here, give God a little bit there, think a little bit here, think a little bit there. But here's the question: why did Jesus die? Did Jesus die and rise again just to give us another holiday? Just to give us an opportunity to save a little bit on special prices at a discount store? Did Jesus die just to give us another day to get together with family or do something? Why did Jesus die? Friend, Jesus died on the cross because you and I are sinners, and that death is a death that we deserve. We deserve to hang on that cross. We deserve to die that death. We deserve to pay that price. And Jesus Christ does not demand for us to get on that cross and die for our own sins. He says, I will serve you by dying in your place for your sin. And for you to have life, you just simply receive my death and receive me as Savior and announce me in your life as Lord. That's how we can have life in the death of Jesus Christ. But listen, why did Jesus die? To give us that fear, that respect, that worshipful attitude that God can do miracles beyond our belief. That God can do things that we could hardly even imagine, like bringing His own Son out of that empty tomb. Fills us with such an awe and a wonder and a sense of worship. And I want to ask you today, are you really worshiping Jesus? Are you really falling at His feet and grabbing His feet and thanking Him for all that He's done for you? So what's in it for me? Friend, you can either worship all your accomplishments, all you do, and all that you are, or you can throw all that aside and grab the feet of Jesus and thank God eternally that Jesus died for you. Are you filled with that kind of wonder, that kind of worship, that kind of an amazement? But then do you also have that joy in your life that you can't wait to tell other people what Jesus has done for you? You can't wait to tell them the great things that God has done, and you can't wait to run away, to run and find them and talk to them and tell them all the amazing things that God has done for you. As a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian and you've been born again, those two things, that worship and that witness, ought to just come through every part of your life. If you're too busy worrying, if you're too busy trying to figure things out, if you're too busy trying to manipulate this or trying to do that or trying to figure this out or trying to take care of that and not giving God all of the fear and the respect and the worship He deserves, then let go of all of that foolishness and just grasp the feet of Jesus. Are you doing that today? Are you witnessing like you should? Are you telling and showing other people what Jesus Christ has done? You know, when we were little kids, we used to play show and tell. You used to bring a favorite toy or a little something. You used to tell about us or who we are. You know, we need to play show and tell as Christians. We need to show other people who Jesus is. We need to tell them the great things that He's done in our life. But if you've never been born again, if you've never received new life in Jesus Christ, and for whatever reason you're here this morning, and you've never received true eternal life in Jesus, and you've never been born again, then my dear friend, today is the day to receive true life through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I want to give us an opportunity to respond to those very truths that God has given to us today. I want to give us a chance to say in our heart to God, God, I'm lost. I'm not a believer. I'm not a Christian. I've never been born again. And today I need to give You my life. I need to embrace the death of Jesus Christ so that I can have life in His name. In just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. People are going to be standing and singing, and our ministerial staff and myself are going to be here at the front of these steps, and you just simply leave your seat, come and tell us, say, Pastor, today I need to be born again. People in this whole place are going to be praying for you. They're going to be thanking God that you've come to that moment where you've given Christ your life. But maybe as a born-again child of God, there are some things that God's dealing with you about. And the resurrection is bringing all those things to light. Does Jesus deserve all of my worship? Is Jesus getting all of my witness? Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to pray that God speaks to your heart and leads you to respond in a way that would bring glory to Him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You for this opportunity to gather together today and celebrate the resurrection of Your one and only Son. Father, there is life in His name. There is life in His death and burial and glorious resurrection. And Father, if there's one person here who's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, may they fall at His feet today and confess their sin and trust in Him as Savior and Lord. Father, if there are individuals or families that are believers in Christ and are not living the way that they should or not worshiping the way they should, they're not faithful to witness the way they should, they don't have that joy, they don't have that fear, that respect, God, may You speak to their heart in a powerful way today and lead them to respond to Your grace. Father, we love You and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Randy Johnson. If you have questions and you desire to speak with someone about what you've heard, please contact us at 225-272-3740 or via our website at www.fbbc.org. If you are in the Baton Rouge area, we invite you to worship with us on Sunday morning at 10:15. Come learn how to be a disciple and make disciples.